Hello, everybody.
Hi, guys. It's Nicole.
How are you as you are listening to this today? Maybe you're walking with me in your ears, or you're driving with me in your car, or you're laying in your bed with your phone next to your head. Or is that me? Those are the ways I listen to podcasts. But however you're listening to this, hello, and I hope today is a good day. Today we're just going to talk on a bunch of different topics. I have so much on my mind, and when I was thinking about this podcast, I was like, let's just dump it all out. I've been getting a tremendous amount of feedback about this podcast, that people are appreciating it, and that they just can't wait till Friday just to hang out and listen to me talk about whatever. So I'm like, I'll just dump my brain of all the things that I have been hearing and thinking and processing this week about this chronic pain journey. And of course, chronic pain is more than just what we classically define as pain. You know, it's pain in your body, it's syndromes of the stomach and the skin, it's syndromes of the pelvic area, which we're going to talk about a lot today. And it's some anxiety and depression and OCD and anything that is chronic, because as you guys well know, if you listen to me a lot, this is just brain science, and this is just your nervous system in sustained fight or flight, not knowing how to calm down, and different pain signals and symptoms being filtered throughout the system, throughout your body, and causing so much trauma and grief and depression, because it's so hard to live a life when you're sick. It should just basically be chronic sickness. But I guess chronic illness is also a tag word that a lot of people use these days, and it is chronic illness. And it is the symptoms associated with autoimmune conditions. And it's so much. It's so much more. So anyway, we're going to talk about all that stuff today. Personally, I had like a really kind of exciting morning because I got a call from my faculty coordinator over at Omega. Her name was Nancy. She's super, super nice and awesome. And she was just confirming the details of my retreat and the room and my instructor's accommodations. And it just got me so excited about this summer. And especially now that at least in the Northeast, the weather's getting warmer and it's starting to really feel like summer. And I'm imagining once again to be at Omega in the summer. I have been at Omega the last two summers, once as a participant and then last summer as a guest instructor for John Gabriel. And it's just such a magical place to be in the summer. Like my whole body is tingling as I say this to you. For real, for real. I can't wait to go. If you haven't signed up yet, please come and join us and listen to me. I don't know what you guys think of me. If you're thinking like I'm trying to sell you when I talk about this every week, I just, spoiler alert, without going into too much oversharing, because that is definitely my forte, I do not make a great deal of money from this. I'm a first-year instructor. I'm really cutting my teeth, you know, with being in a big retreat center like that and getting to headline my own retreat. So this is not going to be a windfall for me by any means, especially once you factor in the travel expenses and all that. But it's going to be so amazing, and it's going to set the stage for retreats that I plan and I am manifesting all over the world. Now, mind you, because a lot of you guys have been writing to me, bring it to Toronto, bring it to Sydney, Australia, bring it to Great Britain, bring it to Norway. I want to. I like fully, full on want to and will. And when I say manifesting, I'm putting it out in the universe. I'm putting it out there in the universe that I am ready to bring this message worldwide. But the chance I have right now is at Omega, the Omega Institute for Holistic Studies in Rhinebeck, New York. The reason I keep telling you about this and to tell you to come is because it's going to be freaking magic. And I want you there. I want this for you. You know, being me in this world, it's a combination of when I do my work, it's a combination of this like giddy hopefulness, which I'm in that space right now, and despair. Yeah, sometimes it's just despair because I hear from you guys all over the world, and what you're doing is you're asking all the same questions. And of course, you know, there's my book and there's my YouTube channel and there's my online course and there's tons of ways to get your questions answered. But I just want to be on a megaphone standing on the top of some, you know, fantastical mountain where everyone can hear me answering them once, because I want you guys to get well. I don't want people to suffer. And so sometimes, and maybe the word despair is a little strong, but sometimes just the sadness sets in that, like, God, it's so much work. It's so much work against the grain. Do you guys know how many applications I've filled out and cold calls I've made and press releases I've sent to all over the country, all over the world? And I just radio silence. People don't write back because this is still a new concept. It's still bubbling to the surface of society and consciousness, but it's coming. It is coming, and it is not going to stop with its momentum. And I know that. And I'm part of that. I'm part of creating that. But I also know there's a universal truth that the mind-body connection and the stark reality of the role that the mind and the body as they dance together play in our wellness is undeniable. It's undeniable, and it's coming. And listen, guys, for you, okay, not for everyone in society, for you, the one person who is you, who is listening to me in your earbuds or on your car radio or wherever right now, this is already, my dream is already realized for you, because you're listening and you can be well. You can be well right now if you do this work. I can't tell you that enough. So anyway, in terms of Omega, I don't have any idea the accommodations, if they've sold out yet. My workshop is still open because, you know, I mean, unless I get like 1,000 people, which is not going to happen. Not even close, by the way. That was just not really, like, not a joke, but I'm saying, like, unless I got like this crazy number of people, my workshop is not going to sell out. Okay. I'm not trying to say like, oh, crazy desperation, sign up now. But the accommodations at Omega do sell out, and they may have already sold out. And if they did, you can still stay, you know, at a bed and breakfast nearby. I'm sure there's Airbnb, you know. So it's not like that wouldn't be still a great experience for you, or they may still have some rooms available. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, if you are struggling, if you think, oh, I don't know, if you're on the fence, I'm just saying straight up, you will not be disappointed. There's just no way, because I am so on fire for this right now. But anyway, so I just had a good morning, because it was like really exciting to feel into this lovely woman I was speaking to on the phone and her saying, you know, oh, we got it all set up for you. And it was just exciting. So anyway, that's where I'm at right now. And so a few things I wanted to discuss with you today. The first is, I have been getting a tremendous amount of feedback asking questions about pelvic pain. And what's interesting about syndromes that happen in the body is they tend to come in waves, okay? So you have to wonder, why is that? Like, I remember in the 80s, it was all about ulcers. Ulcers, ulcers. I mean, it was being discussed constantly. And I remember it was kind of a, you know, unique and crazy notion that stress could make you sick back then. I'm a child of the 80s, born in 1972, squarely a child of the 80s. And I remember, even as a young child, hearing people talk about how if you have too much stress, you could get an ulcer. And I actually remember being pretty horrified by the concept of an ulcer, because sometimes they talked about a bleeding ulcer and how you could vomit blood. And I remember just being like, Jesus, that's like really scary. And so ulcers, ulcers, everybody spoke of ulcers. And then, sort of oddly, other syndromes would rise, and then you wouldn't hear about ulcers. People wouldn't talk a lot about ulcers, and, you know, people talked a lot about back pain, and then they called it irritable bowel syndrome or irritable bowel disease. And then people would talk about migraines. Like, I don't remember hearing about a migraine once in the 80s, but, you know, I'm sure people had them, but it wasn't like in the international conversation. So one thing that Dr. Sarno used to talk about, he used to talk about ulcers too, but he and I used to sit in his office. As most of you guys know, I did work directly with him for years, and he and I used to sit in his office before the alumni panel when I would come into the city and just touch base and talk shop. And he would say now and then, you know, isn't it so interesting? We never hear about ulcers anymore, but all we hear about is blank. You know, I forget in the 90s what people were specifically talking about. But I guess what I'm saying is that I hear about pelvic pain now in a way that no one has ever talked about pelvic pain and interstitial cystitis and pelvic floor dysfunction and vulvodynia. Trying to think of and male pelvic pain. I've been getting a bunch of emails lately from men saying, have you ever worked with male pelvic pain? And yes, I have all of it. And there's other diagnoses that are slipping my mind right now, but it doesn't actually matter what you call it. If you have pain or problems in your pelvic area, in anything below the belt, that's what I'm talking about. That's what people are writing to me about. And maybe the reason why people don't, like, I don't have anybody who has offered to come on the podcast and be interviewed about it because it's a sensitive topic. I mean, let's face it, people don't really want to talk about it. But I want to say something about it because it feels really important. Here's what feels important to me. One of the things that I worry about in terms of these diagnoses that start sweeping the country and then start rising like waves in the tide is when enough people start talking about it, and then of course Big Pharma comes out with a medication for it, and you can see it every third commercial on cable channels that, you know, are you struggling with blank? Well, take this, and the side effects are death and cancer, but don't worry about it, take this, you know, which is such a personal pet peeve of mine and the reason why I DVR every cable show that I watch because I can't stand the commercials. But in any case, pelvic pain, when there becomes a trend and people are talking about it and there's a medication, even people who are familiar with TMS might be tempted to say, oh, right, but that one's different. Pelvic pain is different. Like, I dealt with my back pain with Sarno's work, or, you know, I understood after a while that my migraines could also be affected, but this is pelvic pain. And this is, you know, this is recurrent yeast infections. This is recurrent urinary tract infections. This is different. And that is dangerous talk, my friends, dangerous talk, because once you say to yourself, this is different, and your brain settles into thinking and understanding that this can't be affected by your work, or this wouldn't even be something that you could think to connect to your journal speak practice and your meditation practice because this is different, then you can't be helped. And it's just the truth. You know, sometimes I find myself tempted to, you know, protest like, no, believe me, but it's, you don't even have, you know, I don't even need to beg you anymore. It's just the straight up truth. I have a client who had a difficult marriage. She had two kids. And she was happy. She was happy in her marriage. She was happy in her life. Let's not say she was happy in her marriage, but she was happy in her life. She had a family and it was important. And financially, it was important. And as a family unit, it was important to her. But she and her husband were very, very unhappy. And one of the things that really was not working for them was their sex life for whatever reason, for reasons I know, but not necessarily to talk about, just that was the problem. And over the years, they became very alienated from one another sexually, and she had an affair. And I have absolutely no judgment on what people do. I'm not telling you that I think it's bad or good that she had an affair. But what I am saying is, when she finally broke off the affair for reasons that were necessary in her life, she got horrible, horrible pelvic pain. And there's a lot of reasons she could have said, you know, I was with a different partner, I, you know, exposing my body to different flora, you know, there's all different ways to use only physical answers to this question of why. But here's the thing, it was so connected to this time in her life that was so painful around her sexual life, her marriage, this man she had the affair with, that it just, it was undeniable. So when she came to me and we started talking, I mean, she was bedridden. This is not just a little pain. I mean, she had gone on disability from work. She couldn't function. It was excruciating. I know she was diagnosed with interstitial cystitis. And there was another one. There was another big one. I wish I could remember right now. But if anybody's suffering out there, you guys know the diagnoses. And the reason I sound ignorant when I talk like this is the diagnosis doesn't matter. And I don't mean to sound flip about it. It just doesn't. The word that they give your pain doesn't matter. The pain is TMS. The pain is a relation between the mind and the body. And the pain is a result of the nervous system sending pain signals to a place that is causing you emotional and mental and psychic distress. So anyway, we did the work. She did the journal speak work. She was an excellent journal speaker. And when I say excellent, just that she didn't let the resistance own her and she did the work. Totally, totally pain-free. Did not leave her marriage. Did not want to. Her husband, by the way, knew about the affair. She had come clean. You know, that was all part of it. And they decided to, you know, carry on, reconcile. And she, whatever, I mean, I no longer see her, but whatever her life is her life. I hope to God her life is happy, but she doesn't have pain. And that's something that I think people need to continually remember, which is you don't need to change your circumstances to be out of pain. You just need to do the journal speak work and dedicate yourself to the practice and believe that this is helping you because it absolutely will, and treat yourself with patience and kindness. That's what you need to do. Your circumstances do not need to change. You do not need to leave your marriage. You do not need to quit your job. You do not need to disown your children. You do not need to, you know, whatever horrible thing you would have to do to alter your life. None of it. None of it. All you have to do is allow your repressed emotions to be vented and seen and felt by your mind and your body, by your nervous system and your brain. It will be determined by your system that you no longer need protection from those repressed emotions, and the pain signals will stop firing. My friends, this is how it works, and this is how it works every single time. And I have seen thousands of people between my practice, my telepractice that I used to have, my lectures that I've given around the world, my comments people write me back about my book and my online course. If we're counting Sarno's work, millions of people, it happens the same way every time, and it can happen for you. The reason that I feel the need to discuss pelvic pain is because I don't want people identifying out, saying, yeah, well, that's different, because it's not different. It's not different, and it's such a problem. Oh my goodness, and the meaning attached, obviously, and the panic attached, obviously, and the shame attached, obviously. Not that we need to have panic and shame, but we're human. We get panic and shame around embarrassing things that we don't want to talk about. Emotions are hard enough, but if your pain is manifesting in an embarrassing place or in an embarrassing way, you know, like a lot of people are very embarrassed when their pain, when their symptom is like acne or something where people can see it, or hives. And so, you know, I just think that you have to realize your system is in a frenzy, and you have the power to calm it down. It doesn't happen overnight. And listen, guys, can you please be easy on yourself? I get a lot of emails also and comments and posts about people saying, why am I not better yet? Oh, honey, just chill. Just chill. You've lived a life. There's been a lot of things that had to be repressed out of necessity. You had to survive. That's the way it had to go for you. So don't worry. You're going to be okay. You are going to be okay. My next message of this podcast that has been kind of floating around in my brain is, I need you guys to know something. Straight up. You don't need to be sick. You don't need to be sick. I feel like we've gotten to this point, especially as we get older. I am now at the ripe old age of 47, guys. I'm getting older. I am squarely in midlife. Midlife. And people my age start to feel like logically they're going to be sick. Something's going to be wrong with me. And it doesn't mean that nothing's ever going to be wrong with you. I'm just saying chronically, you don't need to be sick. No matter what your symptom is, you don't need to have it. I've worked with people, like I have this one person I'm working with. Well, she's not my client, but she's my friend and I guide her when she needs help. Her name is Shoshana Bean. She's been on this podcast. She's amazing talent, an amazing talent. Starring in Waitress right now, if anybody wants to go check her out. on Broadway. Any case, Shoshana came to me because her voice, her throat, her she was getting a cold over and over again, and her voice was being affected. Her voice is her livelihood. So that's when she came to me. And she talks about this in the podcast that she was on, if you want to check her out, earlier this year. And when she came to me, we were working on her voice, and then she realized that she didn't need to get her sciatica anymore, and it was a given to her. She figured, I'm a person who has sciatica. I'm a person who struggles with on and off hip pain. That's one of, you know, she assumed that she needed to be sick. And when I say sick, and when I say pain, you can just use those words as an umbrella under which any symptom, any syndrome happens. So she assumed, yeah, I just, you know, I'm 41. I guess I get sick or I get this pain. This is who I am. No, she no longer has sciatica, guys, because she understood that her journal speak could affect that too. And as soon as the reason that belief is such a huge part of this is because when you believe that you can be healed by the work that you're doing, you're not afraid anymore. And let's remember that chronic pain is an epidemic of fear, not an epidemic of pain or stomach issues or head issues or fibromyalgia. This is no, chronic pain is an epidemic of fear. Fear and meaning. The symptoms are afterwards. You know, you get a twinge. Okay, so Charlotte, who is 11, walked into my room a couple nights ago, and she said to me with like genuine fear in her eyes, Mommy, I just had the craziest thing happen to me. And I said, what? And she said, I got this stabbing pain, like stabbing, like somebody was shoving a needle right through my back. It was a stabbing. And I said, okay. And she's just staring at me. I go, honey, it's normal. It's fine. She like her and her whole face sort of relaxed half because she doesn't believe me right away. And she's kind of staring at me still. And I said, babe, I'm like, it's normal. It was a sensation. It moved through your body. Does it hurt now? And she's kind of doing her shoulders back and forth. And she said, no. And I said, babe, you're fine. It's okay. It's probably, you know, whatever. Call it what you want. Growing pains or, you know, you don't even need to call it something. It was just a sensation that you felt in your human body. And she went to bed. I haven't heard about it since. But what if I said, oh my God, where? Oh, no, no, no. Oh, honey, let me see. Move your back. Did it happen again? Is it going to happen again? Maybe we should see the doctor. Maybe we should get you checked out. Imagine the difference in that reaction for her nervous system. She was just like, oh, okay. Like, she's not thrilled with me when I talk to her like this because I think, you know, listen, I'm the mom. My kids do a lot of eye rolling at me, a lot of, you know, all right, mom, here you go again kind of thing. But even though they roll the eyes, I do not co-sign their fear, not unless there's something to be afraid of. And let me tell you something, I'm not like one of these Zen Buddhas. I mean, if there's something to be afraid of, if there's healthy fear that needs to be instilled in these kids, don't you worry. I will do it. I will tell them, you know, like stranger danger, you know, there was this guy at the pool that was being creepy over Memorial Day weekend. And I looked at my daughters and I said, there is no call for a grown man who you don't know to ever speak to you. I don't care if he needs to know directions. I don't care if he needs to know where the bathroom is. I don't care. You say, ask someone else. You say, I'm not allowed to talk to strangers. You say, my mom says I can't talk to you. I don't care what you say. You can say anything you want, but walk away. You do not need to engage in a conversation with a grown man. There's no reason. And what I'm saying is I am a very cognizant person. But when there's nothing to be afraid of, I do not go there because there's nothing to be afraid of. But see, as grownups who maybe weren't parented that way, and we're out on our own in the world, and the world feels scary, and the world feels big, and our body feels scary, and we're scared it's against us, and we're scared that, you know, any bump or bruise or sensation or anything could mean that something else is going to happen to us, or if we don't do X, then Y is going to be worse. That can cause a lot of fear. And once again, let me always reiterate, I do not believe in stepping over the doctor. If you think something's wrong with you, if it's recurring, you have to get checked out. You need to know. Get a blood test, you know, have someone palpate your body, make sure you don't have a tumor, make sure you don't have a thyroid condition. You know, of course, I go for regular doctor's appointments. I am not a fool. But once you check out normally, once you get the clean bill of health from your doctor, or like me, once you get a structural diagnosis like a bulging disc or a spondylolisthesis or a, you know, I don't know the names of all the things you could be diagnosed with. But once you get something where they say, well, there's no cure for this, but you could get a surgery, that's when I beg of you to do this work. Guys, I don't mean to be anti-surgery because I know that some surgeries are definitely necessary when you have something broken or like ripped in half or whatever, but I can't tell you. If there's one thing I get emails about more than anything else, it's failed surgeries. And it's devastating for people. Just, you know, I got the surgery and then all of a sudden the other knee is a problem. Or I got the surgery and it got worse. Or I got the surgery and now I have nerve pain in the incision that won't go away. Because guys, listen, you can't fix a problem that's a problem, a real problem, which is mind-body issues that need to be solved in a mind-body fashion by cutting into your body. You can't. Bulging discs are a normal abnormality. We probably all have them. You know, my spondylolisthesis is a mess. I mean, I'm going to tell you, my MRI makes orthopedic surgeons go pale. But it doesn't matter. I have no pain. I'll tell you the net result of my spondylolisthesis, which is, by all accounts, severe. I can't touch my toes because it goes hand in hand, apparently, with incredibly tight hamstrings. I've looked this up. So my hamstrings are super tight. I mean, I have tried every stretch, every exercise. I can get like a little bit more mobility, but if I stop doing it for 1 or 2 days, I'm right back. I'm like a tight rubber band. I can't touch my toes. It's very annoying. It keeps me from doing yoga and trying to get over myself because I'm a perfectionist by nature and it's hard for me to go do something if I'm going to suck at it and if I can't do it right. But anyway, I digress. But the point of the matter is I have really tight hamstrings and I have a kind of a lump in my spine. Like if you put your fingers down my spine, you will feel it dip in because apparently I have a vertebrae that is shattered and replaced with scar tissue and bump out for whatever, you know, following whatever MRI I see on the screen. But I have zero back pain ever. And if I do have back pain once in a while, like I'll have a stiff back when I get up in the morning and I'm like, damn, girl, you got to get to your journal speak. And as soon as I do, it goes away. I promise you, you don't need to be panicked about a structural abnormality in your back, in your hips, in your shoulders. Please don't do this to yourself. Do this work before you get an unnecessary surgery because surgery can cause so much other fear and meaning that you start, it's, you know, your body is like a pinball machine. You pull back the ball and it's going to bounce around until it finds a spot that you're going to believe and that you're going to tend to. And once you do, that's where your chronic situation lives for a while. And you know, you might say, well, people do have successful surgeries, and they do once in a while. And my opinion is because that's the placebo effect, and that those people, I'm going to say at least in the people that I hear from 100% of the time, it goes somewhere else. They're like, well, I had a lower back surgery, and that was successful, but now I've got this frozen shoulder, and it's ruining my life. And that's when I feel in despair because I'm like, oh God, how can I convince these people? We are in a society fueled by fear. The medical model fuels us with fear. I'm sorry, medical model, because I love my doctors and I love doctors and I empathize with doctors. It must be very frustrating to deal with chronic pain patients because if you're a good doctor who cares, that's frustrating. You want to get people better and this is the way. And more and more and more doctors are coming to me. I had a doctor a couple weeks ago. She's actually a urologist dealing with tons of people in pelvic pain. Drive 3 hours down here just to catch a lunch with me to learn about this work because she feels at her wit's end. She can't help people. And she's going to now bring my work into her practice. And I'm thrilled. And you know what? One person at a time, guys, it's good enough for me. It really is. Who am I kidding? It's not good enough for me. Come on, Oprah, call me. Oprah, call me, because when you call me and you put my name out there, I'm going to get to stand on the mountain and help everybody. So just waiting. Just wait. Somebody give Oprah my phone number. Anyway, okay, so let's talk about the last thing I want to talk about today, which is resentments. And the reason I want to talk about resentments is it's such a big reason that we are so repressed. We're repressed because, think about it, every day in life, we have the bullshit that we have, right? So we have like problems with our kids, problems with our parents, problems with our work, problems with money. We're dealing with a spouse or a partner. We've got, you know, the dog that throws up on the rug, not mentioning any names. So, we got the things, right? So that's day to day. Then we have the childhood, the unresolved stuff, the inner child who's dying to be heard, the screaming five-year-old inside of us. We got that. And we got the personality, which is, you know, I'm a perfectionist, or I want everyone to like me, or I want everyone to be okay, or I'm codependent, or I just want everyone to see me as a good person, you know, all those things. But in addition, on top of all that, that us poor human beings need to deal with, we carry resentments. And so it's like any of those things that I just mentioned could cause a resentment, and anything under the umbrella of any of those wider topics could cause a resentment. But here's the thing about resentment. It is so toxic. And I know that you feel that you have a right to your resentments. Well, she did me wrong, so F that. I'm not going to forgive her. No way. Because you think that your anger makes you stronger. You think that your fear keeps you safe. Okay, this is not true, guys. This is not true. And here's the problem. Your resentments are keeping your emotions repressed. Because even though you have the resentment and you feel that you are due the resentment, there's kind of no way to solve the problem, because oftentimes the resentments we have are at people we don't talk to anymore, or we don't choose to spend a lot of time with this person. We distance ourselves from the person because we're like, well, I don't like them. They did me wrong. And so I'm not going to spend time with them. So oftentimes with resentments, there's no resolving the resentment. You just hold it. You know, I often say, have often said over the years many times, acid does more damage to the vessel in which it is stored than that on which it is poured. So you might hate Sally. She's an asshole. She did terrible things to you. And I bet she did. But you're sitting there holding that acid as it's eating its way through you. And once in a while when you see her, maybe like you say what you want to say, or you give her, or you blow her off and that'll show her, or whatever. So little sort of drops of acid hit her once in a while. But you, you're the one getting eaten alive. You know, another way to say it is, a resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Don't do that to yourself, guys. Whatever it is that you have a resentment about, understand that forgiveness is first and foremost for yourself. Forgiveness is selfish. If you forgive, if you just let it go, if you say, I don't want to carry this anymore, that person oftentimes is never even going to know. But you will be free. I'm going to tell you a quick story. My teenager, my 16-year-old, she is a source of constant joy, like the greatest joy, and just a great amount of frustration. And one of the things that is frustrating about her is she's so chill that sometimes she just chooses not to do her homework. I doubt she ever listens to this, but if she does, hi, honey. But also, she's a source of great joy for me, because one of the things about her that I tremendously enjoy experiencing is she is so evolved when it comes to this forgiveness stuff. And once in a while, she'll throw out a comment and it just takes me. Like, it takes me by surprise. It takes me like to a place of pride. Because I don't know what part I've played in making her like this, but I don't know, maybe something I've done. The other day we were in the car and we were talking, I'm not going to get into details about her life, but we were talking about someone who had done her wrong. And the person's name came up and I said, so what's going on with that person? How do you feel about that person? I said, are you angry? Do you feel angry? And I'm just making conversation with my kid. I'm not going deep into any conversation about resentments or anything. And she, without missing a beat, looks at me and said, why would I waste such a powerful emotion on somebody who I don't even want in my life anymore? And I was like, damn, girl, my girl's got it. That is the attitude. Because she's right. I was the one baiting her and being like, you still mad? And she was just like, I'm not wasting such a powerful emotion on that person. And I was like, just proud of her. And just knowing that she's got some pretty good tools for life, because that's the way. And, you know, listen, I know that this is a lot easier said than done, but I just thought I'd put a plug out there for it, because, God, resentment can really take you down, can it? You know it can. Every one of us has had a resentment. Every one of us knows how it can just fester within us, making us toxic. And, you know, that does not help in getting better from a chronic situation. So, all right. Well, enough of me for today, but I hope that you are well. I send you tremendous love. I send you so much positive energy. I know you can do this for yourself. And until next time, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with Nicole Sachs, LCSW.